The early Christians were preeminently a people of the book. Their loyalty to Holy Scripture is everywhere manifest. And the book called the Acts of the Apostles reports on the activities of Christians and the expansion of Christianity over a period of about 30 years following the ministry of Jesus on earth. Now, a survey of that book reveals no less than 30 quotations from the Old Testament scriptures. Yes, the early Christians were a people of the book, as all Christians should be. Now, those 30 quotations from the Old Testament recorded in the book of Acts were scattered throughout the books of the Bible. 3 from Genesis, 6 from Exodus, 1 from Deuteronomy, 1 from 1 Samuel, 8 from Psalms, 5 from Isaiah, 1 from Joel, 2 from Amos, and 1 from Habakkuk. The Jewish division of the Old Testament into the 3 sections, Law, Writings, and Prophets, is reflected in Christian quotations. There are 10 quotations from the Law, 9 from the Prophets, and 9 from the Writings. Now observe that while there are 30 quotations, 2 passages are quoted twice, so there are but 28 references involved. That Christians looked upon all parts of the Old Testament as the Word of God and equally authoritative in the lives of the people of God is therefore definitely established. The early Christians looked to the Old Testament for any need in their ministry. They quoted it to guide the church in her business affairs. They quoted it to explain the work of God in sending the Holy Spirit. They quoted it in responding to charges of wrongdoing and perversion of the ancient religion. They quoted it in prayer to God. They quoted it in the presentation of the gospel in an evangelistic setting. They quoted it to explain and defend their outreach to all the world in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The early Christians looked to the Holy Spirit of God to enable them to serve God effectively. And when they looked for guidance in Holy Scripture, it was but natural that they would recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in inspiring the very Scriptures which they studied. It is not surprising to hear them say such things as, "This Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spoke by the mouth of David." Or again, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers." The early Christians considered the Bible to be inspired of God through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Now, the truth concerning the inspiration of the Bible is a foundation stone of the Christian faith. There is a modern tendency to doubt the inspiration of the Bible, but that tendency is modern indeed. The first Christians had no question but that God spoke through the Holy Spirit every word that is recorded in Old Testament scriptures. Fundamental Christians today hold that strict belief in the inspiration and infallibility of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 reads, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Now note that term, inspiration. The Bible does not say Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, for the definite article is not there. It rather reads, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." The difference is important. For the Greek term translated inspiration in 2 Timothy 3:16 literally means God breathed. We could correctly translate, "All Scripture is God breathed." The "in" in the word inspiration seems to infer that God put an idea into a person and that person stated the idea as best he could. But inspiration means much more than mere in-breathing. The Bible does not speak of inspiration or inspiring so much as it speaks of spiration, of spiring. It does not say that the Scripture is breathed into by God or that it is the product of divine in-breathing into its human authors, but that it is breathed out by God. It is God-breathed, the product of the creative breath of God. The emphasis is not on human instrumentality, but upon divine operation in the giving of the Bible. Now consider the extent of inspiration. In response to the question, "Is the whole Bible inspired?" many people will reply that the Bible contains the Word of God, but is not truly the Word of God in its totality. In other words, some declare parts of the Bible are the Word of God and parts are not. Now, any concept of inspiration which denies divine authority to any part of the Bible is insufficient. I believe that the Bible is totally inspired. The Old Testament books of law, history, poetry, and prophecy are equally and verbally inspired. The New Testament books of biography, history, doctrine, prophecy are equally and verbally inspired. I believe in the verbal inspiration of the whole Bible. Dr. James H. Brooks has laboriously counted the individual statements in the Bible which testify to its divine origin. He found a total of 2,405 occurrences of such expressions as God said, the Lord spoke, saying, the word of the Lord, and the Lord commanded. The statements occurred consistently through all divisions of the Old Testament, 680 times in the Pentateuch, 418 times in the historical books, and 1,307 times in the prophet. That 2,405 times was in the Old Testament alone, and would be greatly increased by like affirmations in the New. Dr. Herbert Lockyer has concluded, this stupendous fact is unexampled in the history of the world. The view that Orthodox believers hold is that this divine control was sufficiently exerted to produce verbal inspiration, unerring accuracy in every statement made, and divine wisdom in every word uttered or penned. Now here is the testimony of faith by J. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission. The living God still lives, and the living word is a living word, and we may depend upon it. We may hang upon any word God ever spoke or ever caused by His Holy Spirit to be written. 40 years ago, I believed in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. I have proved them for 40 years, and my belief is stronger now than it was then. I have put the promises to the test. I have been compelled to do so and have found them true and trustworthy. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 14 sets out four great truths related to the inspiration of the Bible. First, the unseen things of God are not discoverable by the natural man. Second, the unseen things of God are revealed to chosen men. Third, the revealed things are communicated in Spirit-taught words. And fourth, those Spirit-taught words in which the revelation has been expressed are discerned as to their true spiritual content only by the spiritual among believers. The Bible is God's final revelation to man until He is revealed personally in eternity. It is sufficient to tell men what to believe and how to behave in all ages, at all places, under all circumstances. A man-made book would never be sufficient for such a task. Therefore, God breathed His holy word through men whom He chose. The product of His breath and of their writing is the Holy Bible. Now, no other revelation is needed. In the Bible is the divine plan of the ages. All that God would have us know about the past, the present, and the future is recorded therein. So rather than seek new revelations, the Christian should devote himself to a detailed and serious study of the revelation contained in the Bible. The Holy Spirit was the intermediate agent by whom the Holy Scripture was given as the infallible Word of God. That same Holy Spirit is available today to enable the sincere seeker for truth to understand the mind of God through the Bible. Ask Him to help you, and you can know every truth you need to know as you serve God and as you live for Him. Now, this series of studies has investigated five references to the Holy Spirit contained in the first chapter of the book called The Acts of the Apostles. We have seen Him active in the life of Jesus Christ, as Him whom the Father had promised, as involved in the spiritual baptism of believers, as the power for Christian service, and finally, as the author of the Holy Scriptures. Thank God for the blessed ministry of His dear Holy Spirit in the lives of His believing children.